Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. Pastor Ron, time to do it again.
Hey, I'll tell you, this has been such a fun series that we've been on. I'll tell you, I have enjoyed this so much, Dwight, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, these spiritual tools that God gives us. And you and I have been around the block long enough to know, even as a seasoned Christian, we have to have these fruit operating in our life, Dwight. I mean, so many times I think people get the idea that Christians are perfect. We're not by any means. And I mean, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit and it comes to living and walking this journey out, I think if you're really a sincere Christian, you really see how much you need them and how much you need the fruit operating in your life. And you really see that this is a journey that we're on and that we all have failure. We all have mistakes. And, you know, one time I did a series at church. And by the way, I do pastor Living Hope Church. If you're ever looking for a home church, come to Living Hope Church in Cookeville. But I did a series one time. I taught a 6-week series on how to fail. You know, so many times as Christians, we're so afraid of failure. We don't really own it and we don't grieve over it and we don't repent. We don't really know how to do that process. And we try to press on when we haven't really gone through the process of letting this fruit work in our life. And then the next time that trial or comes up, then we're better equipped or better prepared to let this fruit work in our lives. And you know, Dwight, I know we've promised we're going to finish up these last two today. And we've been talking about all the love, joy, peace, patience. And I think the last two there in Galatians 5, we've been coming from Galatians 5, is meekness and temperance. And it says, against such there is no law. And I love the way that you say that, is that against such there's no way that nothing's going to overcome these.
No.
And if you're operating in those, then guess what? Nothing's going to overcome you either. So that's the victory that we have when we operate in this. And Dwight, what is definition, or how would you look at meekness? What do you see in regard to meekness?
Well, first of all, we remind our audience again, that's a tool.
Yes.
That's a force. That's a grace. That is a characteristic of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ said that. His characteristics, his grace, they came into us. That's why the Bible calls us joint heirs.
Yes.
That's why the Bible, you know, we're sons and daughters of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if my mom and daddy both had brown eyes and I got brown eyes, nobody going to say, I can't believe he's got brown eyes. No, it'd be pretty natural that I would. Well, that's the parts that we have to learn that they're there and then learn how to use them. But as it relates to meekness, you know, if we go back to Moses, it said Moses was the meekest man in the Bible.
Wow.
And here's a guy who took the Ten Commandments and threw them down and broke them. I mean, here's a guy that God said, speak to the rock, and he hit it. I mean, you know, and that's meek. I mean, you know, so even Moses, which God declared him to be, that Moses had his moments.
Yes.
And Moses had his moments. And I'm glad, so glad that the Bible shares with us the shortcomings of these people.
Wow.
I mean, if you're talking about Samson, you're talking about David, if you're talking about Paul, you know, it tells us, I mean, these were real mortal men and women, flesh and blood, human being, and the Bible puts their mistakes and sins right out there in front of us. And yet, in spite of what David did in terms of adultery, in terms of murder, God says, man, he was a man after our own heart.
Wow.
He loved him.
Yep.
He loved him. Now, meekness, one thing I'm learning, Pastor Ron, that meekness is that meekness is not weakness.
Yes.
When we see somebody, well, he's so humble, or somehow in our mind we get this little weak person, you know, little person that just won't stand up for himself, won't speak out, won't voice your opinion. That's not it at all. What I'm learning, and you can help me with this, because we get more revelation about this as we go through it, is when someone is meek, they're disciplined and under the control of God.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up hearing this statement, well, God's going to humble you. God's going to humble you. Well, that's not what the Bible says.
No.
The Bible says humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You humble yourself and he's the exalter. He's not the humbler.
Right.
So the meek person is the person that has decided, you know, I want my life, I want to be a disciple of Christ. The Bible says, if you continue in my word, you'll become disciples of mine. You'll become disciplined to my way of doing and my way of being. If you continue in my word, and you become disciples of mine, you'll become disciplined to my way of being and my way of doing. And then you will know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. So the person who is a meek person is a person, and it's a process.
Yes, it is.
I mean, meekness doesn't happen in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. We spend our whole life, but it's a process of saying, God, the more of my life that's disciplined and under your control, the better my life is going to be. The better I'm going to be able to help others, the better I'm going to represent Jesus Christ. So I decide as an act of my will to bring this part of all parts of my life, every part of my life, under discipline, under your control.
Wow.
I give this to you. Wow. To me, that epitomizes a meek person.
Sure, sure. And you know, Dwight, I was thinking about that scripture over in 1 Peter chapter 3 where he gives instruction to husbands and wives, and he talks about the wife having the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And you know, when you think about, I know we have to take a break here in just a moment, but when you think about the ornament, you know, I love Christmas ornaments. I love Christmas time anyway, but I love the ornaments. When you think about it, he described a meek and quiet spirit as an ornament, and then he said that a meek spirit was quiet. You know, that it was a quiet spirit. And I think that word quiet means not easily disturbed, not easily taken, not easily captivated by other things. It doesn't mean that that person won't be.
Yeah.
It just means it's not the easiest thing to do for them. When we're operating in meekness, we're not allowing our eyes, our ears, our senses to control what happens.
We're glad you're with us. It's Local Matters for a Friday afternoon. Your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're talking about your spiritual toolbox, specifically those characteristics of Christ, those forces, those powers that come into the believer when they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we're looking at the tool of meekness now and how it works in your life. Meekness, Pastor Ron, can come in handy all sorts of times.
Yes.
How many times have we been in a discussion with someone and emotions get real high and tempers flare a little bit, and we say something that we go, 10 minutes later, or 10 seconds later, or maybe 10 years later, we wish we hadn't said that. You know, meekness takes care of that. We don't have to go around trying to prove we're right. We don't have to out-argue. We don't have to out-yell.
Yeah.
We don't have to get in the last word. We don't have to prove we're right all the time. And the force and power of weakness will help us and know my identity is not in if I, to win an argument. My identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That, and that's the key, Dwight, is having – well, see, when we're meek, you know, Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth.
Yeah.
And that
that's good.
With meekness, there comes inheritance.
Yeah.
And so when we're meek, well, that was such a good example about that you gave about 10 minutes or 10 years. You know, when we're not walking in meekness, we're letting the environment, if you would, control us at that point.
Oh, absolutely.
Whatever's going on. When there's drama, there's no meekness. You know what?
Ooh.
And so we're letting our senses control us at that point. And so if we want to inherit, one of the blessings of meekness is if we want to inherit, then we're going to have meekness operating in us as a tool that will help us to stay in that state of not letting the outside extremities and forces control us.
Oh, that's good.
But see, Dwight, you tapped on the key to how do we do that, though? How do we keep that from happening? We're always looking to the Lord. It's like we set our affections on Him. He's the one that we're looking to. We're not looking at winning that argument. We're not looking at getting in that last word. We're not looking at sticking our nose into other people's business and creating drama that we don't need. We're not looking to all that. We're looking to the Lord. We're keeping our focus on Him. And that is the ornament of that meek and quiet spirit. You know, Christians are noted for evangelism, and we're called to win the world. But sometimes I think we get so wrapped up in yapping, talking, doing, trying to accomplish something that we fail to do what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, study to be quiet and to do your own business.
Man, you know,
study to be quiet and to do your own business. And so, you know, I think sometimes we have to realize that that's a factor in meekness, is just learning to be still, to be quiet, and to know that He is God. We can't do it all. We can't win everybody. We can't make everybody right. But we can enjoy the quietness of the fruit of the Spirit working in our life.
You know, doesn't it say in the Bible that a soft answer
yes.
turneth away wrath?
Yes.
You know, when we get into a discussion with somebody and they start getting louder. We start getting louder. They start interrupting. We start interrupting. They start getting mad. We start getting mad. That's an unrenewed mind and an undisciplined tongue taking over.
Yep.
And you know what? Words are containers.
Mm-hmm.
Words contain things. How many relationships, business, personal, have been broken because of words? And people get into situations like that, words going back and forth and anger happening and injury happened because of words. There's where meekness, there's where the child of God has the advantage in the fact that, wait a minute, I don't have to do this. I don't have to respond this way. Thank you that I've got the force of meekness in me. My tongue is disciplined and under the control of God. And thank you, Father, that you're helping me through this. And I'm not just on my own here, but I've got the power
of
weakness, and
God.
I don't have to respond that way.
Thank God he helps us, doesn't he, Dwight?
Yeah.
I mean, thank God that help through faith activates that grace, and then we're able to operate in meekness.
And you know, and how many times have you said, or I said, or our audience members said, well, that just makes me so mad.
Mm-hmm.
He just makes me so mad. It just makes me, or even something more profane than that, you know, but it makes me, you know what? As I've meditated this, Pastor Ron, nothing can make you mad.
Exactly.
You have to decide to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
And the more your tongue gets out of control, the madder you get, because
mm-hmm.
you've decided to think that way. And I'm not pointing fingers. We decide to think that way. We decide to speak that way. Nobody twists our arms and say, get mad, get mad, get
mm-hmm.
mad. No, it's an unrenewed mind and an undisciplined tongue. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And boom, first, you know, we've hurt people. They've hurt us. And sometimes we never get over it.
And that is weakness, not
yeah.
meekness.
We're glad you're with us this Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're talking about your spiritual toolbox, characteristics of Christ, graces, things that all believers have, what they do, what they are, how to use them. And when we come back, we're going to talk about temperance. How's
all
that
right,
sound, Pastor
sounds
Ron?
Good.
Temperance. Stay with us on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Happy that you're here on a Friday afternoon, Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. And as we've been talking about for the last several weeks, believers, you have a spiritual toolbox. You have grace. You have God's ability working inside you to help you do things that you can't do on your own. And you've also been given a measure of faith to activate those graces. The graces we've specifically been dealing with are the components of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And the last one we're going to talk about is temperance. And what we've tried to do now, run over the last, I think, 6 weeks,
yes.
is just pull these tools out of the toolbox and say, first of all, believer, you have this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to ask God for it. God doesn't get mad if you do, but you already have it. What is this tool? How does it work? And when do you use it?
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone through component by component of these tools, as we're calling them, and talk about it on a very practical way how to use them on this earth. None of these we'll need when we get to heaven.
No, that's right.
The sweet by and by will be sweet. But we won't need any of these.
No, we won't.
We won't need any of these. But we need them now.
Yeah,
we need them now.
Yeah.
So let's open up the toolbox and pull out this last tool of temperance. And that's an interesting word in our culture. But in terms of temperance, what is that tool, Pastor Ron? How does it work? When do we use it?
Well, you know, Dwight, one thing that I've observed about the flesh, you know, living in this world is without restraint, the flesh just goes crazy. I mean, the flesh being acted out is what produces murder and causes people to go rob places. And, you know, you see if there is a national tragedy, how people will just go in places and loot places and steal from people that are in such desperate need. All of that, Dwight, is a result of the unrestrained flesh. It's a result of people allowing their mind, will, and emotions to be so dominated by their circumstances that they don't just simply are blinded to the fact of how unrestrained they are. And temperance is a force of the Spirit, or a fruit of the Spirit, that keeps us, you know, controlled. It keeps us, you know, when you think about proper etiquette, for example, like I wondered for years, Lord, you know, what's the deal about a place setting? It looks nice, you know, to have the forks and the knives and spoons where they're supposed to be.
But we were project kids. We don't understand that.
I didn't know. That's right. You know,
so we ate with our hands.
What's the deal? And, you know, when you think about a place setting, even when you think about a traffic light, Dwight, when you think about a stop sign, when you think about Proverbs 8 says wisdom cries out. When you look around, if you just really look around at how wisdom works, you know, that place setting, that stoplight, that it's for restraint. It's like, you know, you use a fork and a knife and a spoon so you don't eat like an animal. So you don't put your face down in the plate, you know, so that there's a temperance to that. There's a temperance to, and some of it, people can obviously take too far. They can really overuse the strength and then it becomes a weakness. But when you look at all of these aspects of life, you know, our law enforcement, our military, they are set up and designed by God to create and have a temperate society so that where there is restraint, that people's flesh just doesn't go bonkers and you have crazy. We see enough crazy things where this for this fruit of the Spirit is not in operation. But thank God, where it is, where we are operating, there is a restraint. There is something holding us back. There's something that is God's Spirit that is working. It's a fruit of the recreated human spirit to keep you from overeating, that deals with your heart about not holding back in certain things and not having that restraint that is necessary. And you know, I tell you, Dwight, in our culture, temperance is so important, and it seems to me to be kind of less thought of, you know, really. I mean, if you're in Christ, then obviously there will be a restraining from His Spirit in regard to our spirit. But it's just as a rule of thumb in culture, temperance seems to be something that we talk about, but it's not really exercised. And I think we need to learn how to have that restraint more, how to stop the emotions, how to stop the flesh, how to restrain it, how to keep it from operating and really ultimately destroying our lives.
We're glad you're with us this Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're talking about the spiritual toolbox of the believer, specifically the fruit of the Spirit. And we're focusing for a few minutes on the fruit of the component of the fruit of the Spirit, temperance. And I love how you frame that, Pastor Ron, because it's, you know, the two words that I think of, and they really aren't adequate, but I think of self-control. I mean, it is, temperance is about self-control.
Yes.
And this is not willpower, because your willpower will take you just as far as you will. But self-control is you have supernatural help. You have a force, a power, a characteristic of Christ in you as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ to help you control yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not in this by yourself, and so if someone has a, you know, most of us, or not the most of, we have sometimes we have like habitual sins, you know, and the devil will grab that handle, or we keep falling for the same thing over and over. And what we can learn is, wait a minute. When even before you get into an environment that sets that up, or you start getting to him, you just stop, just like we said last week. Have that verse. You go to that and say, "Wait a minute, thank you, Father. I've got the supernatural force of temperance in me. Mm-hmm. I've got self control. You're helping. You're supernaturally helping me resist something that I know I should not do here.
Yes, I'm
not in this by myself. It's not about my own willpower. You know, that'll take me a little bit, but your self-control, when it's working in me, nothing can stop it.
Yes.
Against such there is no law.
Yeah.
Nothing can stop it.
And you know, Dwight, you get that, I don't know if this has happened to you, but this has happened to me a lot, where I would be in a conversation with someone and I would start to say something, and it would be like that the quickening of the Spirit of God on the inside of me would totally direct my sentence in a completely different way than what I was planning on speaking. And that's that grace coming alive and keeping, I think, protecting us. It just happens to me quite frequently where it's like I'll start to say something and it's like just such a quickening in my spirit to say something different that would be edifying, that would bless, that would help, and not say something triteful or not say something that would degrade or hurt someone, but try to let every word be seasoned with the grace of God, you know. And when we think about temperance and self-control, the restraint that, you know, Dwight, that is not, we know it's not humanly possible.
No,
I mean, we know it's not. It's got to be coming from the Lord on the inside of us. And, you know, if you're listening to us today and you don't know the Lord, it's real simple. All you have to do is just call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. The scripture says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and that you confess Jesus as your Lord, all of these fruit that we've talked about, these nine fruit of the Spirit that we've talked about, they can be yours. You can operate in love, peace, joy, temperance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness. I mean, you can operate in all of these on a daily basis in your life. But Dwight, you know, this is not humanly possible for us to do these without accepting Christ and having him live on the inside of us.
And, you know, for those of you who may, this may be your moment. This is your time. And some of you may have just prayed that prayer about to say, God, you know, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, come in and be my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. If you've done that, first thing I advise you to do, find somebody who's a Christian and tell somebody.
Tell them.
Yeah. Tell them that you did it. And then find you a good Bible-believing church. Living Hope is one.
That's
where Pastor Ron pastors, and I'm a member and a very happy one at that. But there's a lot of good churches here.
We're
a blessed community. We have wonderful churches all over. And get under the tee. Get with people with like beliefs about Christ and begin to grow in this most important decision. Somebody's listening right now, Pastor Ron. Yep. I believe they're doing that and have done that. Follow up on that. Tell someone about what you've done, get into a Bible-believing church, and grow in the most important decision you've ever made in your life. Now, this whole matter of temperance, what I found in the last 3 minutes that we have left here is that not only will temperance help you not to do things that you know you shouldn't do, Pastor, what I'm learning in my life is it helps me to do things I know I should do.
Well, that's good, Dwight.
You know,
and I'm
you know, it's just so practical. This is not pie in the sky, woo-woo stuff that's over theological or over spiritual. I mean, these are two. I mean, when you got a tool in your toolbox and you got a flat tire, it's practical.
Well,
temperance is practical. I mean, I walk most every morning, 5-6 mornings a week. I get my little puppy. We go out and walk 2 or 3 miles. I know you do that too a lot. But there's some mornings that I'm just laying there going, nah, I don't feel like walking today. Yeah. My body said, just lay here for another 45 minutes and then get up and get in the shower. But you know what I'm learning to do? Thank you, Father, I've got temperance.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that I've got supernatural self-control, and I've got your power working in me. And when I start thinking like that and talking like that and believing like that, my body just gets up out of that bed, and by 10 minutes I'm out on the road walking. It helps you to do things you know you should do.
Boy, that is such a good part of temperance, Dwight. I tell you, I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, that is really the Lord leading us to do things like that that really end up in the long run making our quality of life much better. And if we could realize that all of these fruit that we've talked about, and I'd like for you to read this passage, Dwight, that we've been focused on here for, I guess, the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Read this passage one more time and just take your time there and let's let our audience here hear what these fruit of the recreated human spirit are. These aren't humanly possible. These come as a born-again Christian, a person that's accepted Christ. These fruit become alive in our lives.
And you have them all if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
From Galatians chapter 5, get your Bible later and find it if you would, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, meaning you are the believer's recreated spirit, these forces, these power, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. When these components are ripened and when they're utilized because they're gifts of God and graces of God, we're earthly vessels with heavenly treasures. Nothing can stop them.
And Dwight, nothing can stop them. And if we're operating in them, Nothing will be able to stop us. Man, hadn't this been rich?
Wow, this has been good.
Gosh, man.
This has been good.
Man, what a great 6 weeks we've had here.
And we appreciate the audience for being with us and appreciate you joining us every week. We'll be back next Friday at the same time for Local Matters.